Would you stand to your feet with me, please, all over this room? I am overwhelmingly honored that this general would choose to be with us this morning. He is, yes. For over 31 years, he has been blazing a trail. He pastors the cathedral in Perth Amboy, also in Asbury Park, also in Plainfield. Pastors four campuses. He's a pastor of pastors. He's a thought leader, a theologian. He's family to us. But I'm so honored that Bishop Donald Hilliard is in this room this morning. Kingdom Life Church, can you help me in welcoming the man of God, Bishop Donald Hilliard?
Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Lord, we thank you for tender mercies. And therefore, daily we will worship you. We thank you for the man of God, the woman that stands by his side, and the mother who gave him birth. Pater de Dios, the price that was paid for this awesome ministry and for their future. We thank you for their grounding, their maturity, for their humility, their commitment, and we honor you, God, for this privilege that is really all mine to stand in this holy place. Therefore, sanctify these lips of clay that they will speak your truth and that you will be greatly glorified. And at the end of the day, we can say, we were so edified and we were blessed. May my coming today not be something just to be tolerated and say, I don't even know why they brought him in. But may God, they celebrate the beginning of a new relationship. Bless this house. Oh, Lord, we pray. Keep it safe by night and day. Yes, by your hand, we must be fed. Give this house and my house our daily bread. While I'm here, God, take charge of the cathedral there in Amboy and Plainfield and Asbury Park and the Perth Amboy. Look on that church while I'm at this church, which really is one church. God, look on the homeless, the broken, the sick, the dying, those in trouble, and use us as a lighthouse. We thank you for being so faithful, so good, so kind. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Can you bless the Lord with the clapping of your hands? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God's name. Hallelujah. Were you playing that daily? I will. Without your thing? Who sings here? Worship thee. These are young folk. They don't know this song. Just play it on. If y'all know it, lift your hand. Not one hand. Who extended tender mercies? Tender mercy. Daily I will worship thee. Now slip those hands up. Let's learn it together. Daily I will, Habashando, worship thee, Lamb of God who died for me, who extended tender mercies. Daily I will worship thee. One more time, daily I will, Harabose, worship thee, bless your name, Lamb of God who died for me, who extended tender mercies. Tender mercies, daily I will, daily, daily I will, daily, daily I will worship thee. Slip your hands up and say yes. Come on, Zion. Oh, yes. Every heart, yes. Open your mouth. Come on. Yes. Every heart, yes. Yes. Clap your hands and say, thank the Lord. Come on, church. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Ishamamamatando. Brositin da 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 wo. Nananashe. Kada da da bo se. Rain da 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 sing. Da 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 da. Come on, raise your voices in the da. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, wonderful Savior. We honor you today. Thank you, Jesus. Just hug someone and say, I feel the Lord in this place. Yes, I feel the Lord in this place. And while you're standing, would you help me honor the pastor, Pastor Michael Phillips, the set man of this house. We salute you, man of God. 13 years ago, today, he was installed officially as the pastor. So we celebrate not only him, but we celebrate 13 years of ministry, pastoral ministry. And you can't honor him without honoring the her in his life. And that is the First Lady, Lady Anita, Dr. Anita, who babysat our children. Tell you more about that later. She was rough too. If my wife said 5 o'clock, it was shut down. They could talk other babysitters out, not Anita. And then help me honor his beloved mother, amen, that stood with her husband to carve out this work. And God will not forget your work and labor of love in that you have ministered to the saints. And you do minister. Let's do better than that. That's his mama. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, be seated. Hug someone. Tell them, I'm so glad you're here. You look good. Like your cologne. The perfume smells nice. Nice dress. Nice shoes. Amen. The Lord is good. I asked your wife, son, I said, how long does he normally minister? She said about an hour. He thinks it's 45 minutes, but it's about an hour. I will not be there because I'm not the senior pastor. But I do want you to know that you now, you have a new uncle. Amen. Yeah. You have a new uncle. I shared that with your pastor yesterday. I've been coming to this area for 30 years. Alfred Owens, Bishop Alfred Owens. I've been to Pastor Jamal's. I've been to the other church when Bishop Walter Thomas was the pastor. I've been there. I've been who else? I've been in here. Used to come to Bethel every year. So this area is. I know this area very well. My children. All right, I'm not sure if one of my children is here. My oldest daughter. Stand up, Leah. Stand up, Leah. Stand up, Leah. That's my child. That's my child right there. That's my firstborn. I don't think Destiny and, okay, my youngest daughter is not in this service. She went to her church today. We're going to hang out later on today. And I praise the Lord for Brother Guy, who is helping me. Stand up, Guy, who has come to serve. Thank God for his wife who released him to be with us this weekend, and we give the Lord honor and we give the Lord praise. Where's Junebug that came in with me? One of your members came in with me I want to make sure he came into the church. Where's Junebug? All right, somebody find Junebug. He came in late. That may be him right there because he had hair, all them braids. He had on a red belt halfway down his behind, and he came, was coming into church. And he was coming in the back door, but the back door was locked. That you, Junebug? You come in with me, right? Didn't you come with me? Give him a hand. That's Junebug. He helped me to make sure my beard was, what's it? Daniel. Danny? But he said Daniel. His name, what's your name, Danny or Danielle? What's your birth name? Daniel? Mm-hmm. See, Daniel's Bible. See, my son-in-law's name is Joseph David Thomas. So I figured she couldn't go bad with three Bible names. Joseph David Thomas. So they call him Joe. I call him Joseph David right on. And then they gave us a grandson who they named Joseph Donald. And so we praise the Lord. I'm so excited to be here. I have to calm down. I'm so excited. I just have to calm down. I'm honored, first of all, to be alive, because 10 years ago this month, I was diagnosed with heart disease. And the doctor, my children don't know the whole story, but because I never said it to anybody but my wife, but all that's passed now. But when I was diagnosed, I asked the doctor, I said, well, how would I know I had this if I did not ask for this particular test? The test, fellas, is a thallium stress test. Next time you go to the cardiologist, you need a thallium stress test. It's different than the regular, the EKG? It's different than that. The thallium thing, they put it's a seven-hour test. I asked for it, and I got this diagnosis that took my father's life at 53. So at the time they diagnosed me 10 years ago, they said, now we're going to do what we can, Reverend. I think we're going to sure enough get 5 years. If we're lucky, we're going to get seven. Now, it's been 10, so I went back last week and I said, now, I don't like to hide stuff. Tell me now how long I have, so I need to know, do I hold on to my insurance money for the family, or do I blow it all and just go and get my Range Rover and go to Hawaii and do what I want to do? He said, oh, no, no. Once you pass this milestone, you got a regular lifespan. So I'm looking about 92. Would you just help me praise the Lord for life? I can't hear nobody. Hallelujah. So my soul does magnify the Lord. Amen. And I'm not talking about fake stuff. I'm about real, real stuff. So, brothers, keep a check on your heart. That's what we need in a very special way. So I celebrate the Lord today. Let me give this quick commercial and get it out of the way because I see so many different age groups today. And I'm really turned off when pastors take too much time and do this. I'm also turned off when I have a guest and they don't give. I learned this from John Jenkins, First Baptist Church, right around. Pastor John Jenkins said at a conference, he says, if he's sitting next to the pastor that is going to preach, his guest, and they don't give an offering, his love offering is lower. You don't give to my church, then first of all, I may not have you preach again. So because I want to come back and I want to be blessed, I made sure I gave nicely in the offering. Made sure his wife could see me taking out that money. Mother on one side, wife on the other, and gave in that offering. But this is good ground, and I'm going to conclude with that today. I want you to know this is good ground. I don't need to blow smoke. I've been at this 32 years. I have a home to preach to. I don't need to blow smoke, but I'm just going to say you're really in a tremendously blessed place. I said it yesterday. We had an amazing time with the leaders yesterday. I mean, we learned together. We prayed together, and God knows we laughed together because he brought laughter into my soul. But I want to encourage you. This is what the last book, actually, that I wrote, and I dedicated it to my mother, who was dying at the time, but it's 55 and counting. And this really was written as a tribute to my father, who died at 53, but the publisher took so long to get it done. I was 55 before she got it done. So what I'm telling you prophetically when I write this is I have made it to 55, and I'm still counting. I'll be 60 in June. And so I want you to get a copy of this. It's really, in a nutshell, it's a kind of a how-to and how I and how we, wife and I, raise our children and how the roots that my parents laid for us are carried out in this. And I pick it up also in this book that was written pretty much about 2000, 2001, Safe Harbor Begins at Home. One of my smaller books, but it is powerful. It talks about tending to your garden, teaching the children, training your family, training yourself. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes so I would not follow and look after and lust after young women. So you have to do that. If you want your marriage to work, your relationship to work, you got to train yourself. Amen. You got to really be disciplined yourself. And then I've got these little booklets, How Daddy Makes a Difference. There's another booklet there entitled Passing Beyond Pressure. I have a book on fear, overcoming fear. This was written in the wake of 9/11. And we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Faith is in the face of fear. This book, Church Growth from an African-American Perspective, I should have pushed it yesterday, but this really is for a leadership book, and it talks about our journey and what the Lord did in us and how we did it. And then finally, In the Grip of His Mercy, every one of us, tap your neighbor and say, I'm here because of God's mercy. This is about pressure. You know, you remember that prophetic song, and the bishop got up and said, y'all about to make me lose my mind up in here. Which reverend was that? Which doctor was that? You're about to make me act a fool up in here. See, that was one of the, I forget the reverend's first name, but that was good preaching. Yeah, he told the truth. And this book is one of my favorites because there's about 20 messages in here ranging from prosperity to discipline, to raising your children. There's a chapter in here about Delilah, about brothers being careful for Delilah. Now you gotta watch Delilah and Delilos. Yeah, you got to be careful more for both, okay? And so God, would you come take these for me, sir? Thank you. And so, come take these and somebody get me a little something to drink if you don't mind. That's fine, yep. That's. I don't want anybody to think that's liquor right here. This is Debaje by infusion juice. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. I told my church last Sunday I was giving God the glory of how good God's been. And I said to them, these last four years, I'm learning now. Scared me yesterday. They yelled back. I'm like, what? I didn't know if I had done something wrong or, you know. So these last, you ought to warn a brother before he comes up here. These last 4 years have been such a challenge. My life has been just transformed in a new way. You know, I broke my leg. I had some challenges in one of our church locations. My assistant pastor, we've been together for forever, since I was 13, and she retired. We're still friends, and she's a pastor of another church up in Montclair. My COO took another job. She's still in the church, but everything changed. Then I came down with MRSA, the MRSA virus, in that January of 2013. And it just seemed like yesterday I could feel my mother's fur coat while she was praying over me, crying. In February, we had this huge birthday party for her 80th birthday party, only to find out that March she was terminally ill. And she went to heaven in our arms, my daughter and I. She sang her into heaven on the 26th of August, 2013. I just want to say that all of us have a story. All of us have been through something. And so I jokingly said to my church, you know, I know y'all get tired of hearing people. Don't ever let yourself get tired of telling how you got over, because you never know what it's going to do for somebody else. So I said to the people, listen, you better be thankful I'm not up here with a pack of Cools and a Hennessy and a Bud on the left side. You know, now they're running that Miller commercial. You know, Miller tastes too good to hurry through when it's time to relax. Miller's the beer, Miller beer. We better be grateful I'm going to have a Miller and a Bud and a Bud and a Bud and some Hennessy. But if the truth be told, all of us have been through enough. I mean, when you really tell the truth, I mean the real testimony that everyone cannot handle. I'm talking about the real one. I don't mean that sanitized one. Thank the Lord for being good to me. I mean that real one that nobody knows but God himself. Can you help me give a praise for the real story? For the real story. Thank God for the real story. And so today we're in Proverbs 13. And then I want you to take your cell phone, unless the pastor has instructed you all to hide them when you come to. If some of y'all have the Bible on here, I'm going to ask if you are turning to your Bible, turn to the Bible. Don't check your messages. Don't respond to the people on the phone. Check your Bible. And then I'm asking you to tweet out comments that your pastor's made. My pastor's going to be at so-and-so's church. He's going to be a board of education. Tweet out the good news of this church. Tweet out. I already tweeted about y'all this morning. And my tweets go right to Facebook. Tweet out. Instagram. Things that have occurred. Bishop Hilly was with us today. And Greg Davis is going to be with us. So-and-so. You have a good story to tell. And, you know, you ought to get it out there. That's what you ought to use social media for. That's how we glorify God with these things. But if you're not careful, you're 1 minute, you're one click away from foolishness. Amen? So we're not talking about foolishness, talking about God. Amen. We're in Proverbs 13, then we're going to go to Romans 5. Proverbs 13 and the 12th verse. Let's begin with the 11th verse. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And then over in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, it reads, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith, thank God, into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope, someone say hope, in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. There's sufferings right there in the scripture, sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There's a purpose to your suffering. There's a purpose to your pain. It produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character gives me hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Ghost, whom he has given to us. I want to touch on the topic this morning. I'm living in hope. And you repeat that with me. I'm living in hope. Now, is anybody hot or warm in here? Okay, thank you. So am I. So we can crack something to get a little wind. It was a nice breeze for a second. I don't feel it. And if I don't feel it, by the time I say hope, the next time you'll be living in hope. I'm living in hope. We started out with the book of Proverbs. It is 11:45. You can time me starting now. We start out in the book of Proverbs. That text that comes to us through Proverbs is written by Solomon, considered the wisest man in the world. Proverbs is that book in the scriptures which is known as the wisdom literature of the scriptures. The wisdom literature of the scriptures. It's a tremendous book. Ages old, it teaches us how to study. It teaches us how to save, how to invest, how to live good, upright, and moral lives. The purpose of Proverbs is to give us moral instruction on everyday living. See, everything's in there. You remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding and acknowledge him in all your ways. You remember Proverbs. The virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. All that's in Proverbs. Proverbs 7, gentlemen. Don't follow the ways of the strange woman. If I was going to talk in today's vernacular, I would say, because that hoe don't mean you no good. If I was to break it down to this language. Proverbs, Solomon said it nicely, that strange, he called her a strange woman. Today, they will call her a hoe. And he's really telling the brothers, don't you be a hoe, because she's a hoe. I'm just going to sidetrack. If you go in Proverbs 7, it says, this woman is married. And she says, my husband's on a long journey, and you don't look like you got nobody, baby. And the scripture goes on and says, she lures you with her lips, and nothing's changed. How you doing, shorty? And it catches you off guard, women. You know you got a husband, but you ain't happy that day. So when brothers say, you say, I got a man. And the old prophet also said, what your man got to do with me? But I got a man. Then the brother says, if he's smooth now, if he knows he's really game, knows game. See, real knows real. And every player gets played. And he said, okay, you got a man, but are you happy? Now see, happiness depends on how you woke up. It depends on whether you're on your cycle or not. Whether or not he's on his cycle. We have a cycle too. We just don't bleed. Oh, we do. We go through our little mood swings. We go through our little edgy moments. And we want to be in the man cave. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to back up off me now, please. Give me a moment to come down from my day. You know, women talk. You know, the other day I was talking to my wife. And we're going to get to hope in a minute. But you've got to hope in your marriage. And my wife was talking to me. When she got finished, I could have put my bottom lip over my head. Because she, you know, having a floor, we had a minor fire. I got so much to thank God for in our bedroom. And it could have been a major fire. Thank the Lord, we're all right. But now the insurance people are coming in. They had to rip up the carpet. And so she's telling me, Donald, the man is coming to fix the floor. And how you like the color? See, I was going to go with another color, but I didn't go to go with that. I want them to put a little bit in. And then the next time he comes, but to make sure we do so-and-so. And then make sure, you know, I went to the supermarket on my way home, so I'm going to make a salad. And the tomatoes were on sale over here, but then these tomatoes were on sale. I decided that the best thing for me to do is not do that. And then, by the way, Destiny's doing fine. I took care of Joseph today. He's tired me out. I'm so exhausted. I don't know what to do. I'm like on the phone, like, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Oh Lord, Jesus. Oh. Then I finally said, okay, now I just got to say. Then you're insensitive, because men they want to get right to the point. But women, they're going to take you through every seat, all the way around, all the way back, and brothers just want to go right. But you got to listen to the women. And so that woman who's strange, she knows the way of men and the way of wayward men. You're not going to be happy every day just because you're married. You're going to be happy every day just because you're saved. Happiness depends on how much money you have in your pocket. But joy is eternal. You see me? Joy. We used to sing years ago, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This is not the joy I can get when I get a Mercedes or a Bentley or a Range Rover. I'm happy when I'm in those cars, but they don't give me joy. Solomon talks about that. He deals with joy. He deals with morality. He deals with wise sayings and parables. And in the scripture, he says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I'm living in hope, but what is hope? Well, hope in the Latin means spero, or hoping means I hope to. I'm looking forward to. In the Greek, it is elpo, to anticipate. I'm anticipating, or I'm welcoming a good end. Properly expecting what is surely to come. Bashando. That is surely to come. That's my hope is in God. My hope is built, you know the song, on nothing less. Meaning, I know that's a sure thing. That's real hope. In the early church, they lived with the real hope of the second coming of Jesus. They lived with the real hope that what they believed was really, really, really true. In fact, in the early church, every time they said the name Jesus, just like when I said four, everybody said four. In the early church, every time you said Jesus, they would bow. Every time the cross came in, they would bow. And historically, that's why they knelt at the altar when they came into the church. They knelt and blessed themselves. And some of our denominations on this side have decided to keep that. It's not all Catholic. It's just historical. What they were doing is sanctifying the name of Jesus and saying, I believe in this. I believe in God. Isaiah put it like this. Isaiah 60:1 says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And so hope means I'm no longer looking for hope. I found hope. I already have hope, and the light is come. I may not have a job yet, but I got hope. I may not be married by the age I thought I was going to be married, but I got hope. I may have to file bankruptcy, but I still got hope, because there's life after bankruptcy. There's life after divorce. There's life after the mess up. There's life after five babies and no husband. There's still life. I have hope. And we watched how much we need hope as we watch our president. I don't want to go down that street. We need hope. Department of Justice Violence Against Women programs cut. Minority Development Business programs cut. Civil Rights Division of Department of Justice cut. Money for public education cut. An order against Obamacare. But we have hope. In spite of all the repeals of President Trump, we have hope, because whatever he repeals, God can replace. I can't hear nobody. But whatever he repeals, God can replace. So that's what it means to live in hope. And I only got 2 points. Number one is hope. Second one is help. 2 points. Hope. Hope means that God is able, in spite of where I live, in spite of how I came up, in spite of my circumstances, that I am looking for a better future. Let me get a little deep right here. Hope for the Christian is because we believe, you'll understand this, in the salvific efficacy. Everybody say the salvific efficacy. See, they go home and say that. See, my church is really deep because we talk about stuff like our salvific efficacy. And I'm going to tell you what that means. It means that I believe that I'm saved because I believe in the blood of Christ. That's what that means right there. That there's salvation in the name of Jesus. That even I don't see God, I believe on his name and I'm saved. And then it means that I believe in Christology, which is the theology of the cross, the theology of Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's Christology. Now, this sure enough will get you. You can't have Christology and have no pneumatology. Pneumatology means I believe in the Holy Ghost. So, because this is a Christocentric, pneumacentric church, meaning that we're a Jesus-centered, Holy Ghost-filled assembly that believes that Christ is still the answer and his love is still real, we live in hope. And this hope cannot die regardless of how dark it is. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of what we're hoping for, and the evidence of things not seen. And so here is the prophetic proclamation. Y'all walk with me now. The prophetic proclamation is God is in charge up in here. So we are believing that even when my hope is tested, I will not die because of the test. See, if it didn't kill you, it means that God has a purpose for your pain. I felt that right there. Would you remind one neighbor one time? Say, neighbor, there is a purpose for your pain. God never lets you go through anything that he will not reward you for. Nothing you lost. Everything you lost, everything the cankerworm has destroyed, God is faithful to restore it. Now, can somebody, anybody, lift your right hand and say, yes, Lord. I mean, he can restore it without the bud and the pink and the dust. And she can restore it. I don't need an altered state. Hennessy and Ciroc and all that. I don't need all that for God to be God. Now, when you're really going through something and you're living through hell, all those things seem like they may help you. But they'll help you temporarily. And you'll miss the long-term purpose of it if you're somewhere high. You somewhere, Tony, oh, he goes somewhere over so-and-so, getting high. Now, let me just help you right here. I don't care if they legalize marijuana everywhere in the nation. We got it so bad in this country as African Americans that we don't need one more thing to make us look bad. We can't afford to be high. We can't afford to hide our head in the sand. Because, see, Johnny and you got high in college. Johnny's white, you're black. But, see, Johnny came out of rehab, and he had an uncle who owned a construction company and hired him. When Pookie came out of the rehab, Pookie just went back home to the hood. And we wonder, what happened to Pookie? Well, he back on dope. Because Pookie did not find any other option. I was leaving this church yesterday, and God spoke to me and said, that church represents not just a school building, not just a church, but this church is a hospital. This is a hospital. And a hospital has all kinds of folk. You got some folk that need critical care. Some folk that are coming and need surgical care. Some folk need aftercare. Some folk just need a checkup. But this is a place that represents hope. It represents light. It represents joy. It represents possibilities. It represents the fact that God can. Can you put those hands together? Because God can. God can. God can. God can. Now, God can. God can. When you're going through and the furniture is being rearranged. You got to remind your enemy, this is God's house. My wife was taking care of our grandson the other week, and she was trying to straighten up his bedroom, you know. He's at that stage now with his toys everywhere. He's jumping. We never had boys. We had all girls. So this was a whole new experience. We didn't know about the spitting and the nose picking and all that stuff. Jumping off. You know, the back of the sofas and just jumping in, you know. And we didn't know about all that, you know. Knocking furniture down. You know, he's huge. His fingers and hands are like baseball mitts. His father's like 6'4" and fullback. So he's a, my wife is straightening up his room, and she moves a rocking chair out of his bedroom. I don't know if you heard this, Leah. She moves the rocking chair, and he is a little man. First of all, if you're opening up, I got that. Pulling out the garbage. I got that. That's good. But now he sees his rocking chair in the hall and he starts pulling it back in his bedroom. And he says to my wife, this ain't your house. See, in his little mind, he wanted her to know that this ain't your house. Don't be coming up and moving furniture because this ain't your house. I want somebody to know, you got to remind the devil when he tries to rearrange stuff, this ain't your house. You ain't got no right to come up in here trying to mess anything unless God gave you permission. This ain't your house. This is God's house. God's church. I'm God's man. I'm God's woman. This is God's family. That's God's child. That's God's school. This is God's money. Eboshah. That's why tithing is so critical. Giving offerings is so critical. It reminds you and it reminds God that everything I have, God gave me. The rest of the money left after the tithe, God gave me. What God put me in this church, this building, God gave me. And when I bring you to church, I'm bringing you here because it's going to be more than just a lot of and nothing wrong with that. But you need hope. And you need to know that you're living in hope. Well, why is it so important for this congregation? Well, this is a millennial congregation. Mother, millennials are different in our generation in that millennials are skeptical of giving to structures and systems. They want to give to causes. And also, in this new culture, Sunday, Reverend, has become the new Saturday. See, when I was coming up, you couldn't buy liquor on Sunday. They had blue laws. You couldn't go food shopping on Sunday. The supermarkets were closed. The malls were closed. The five and dimes were closed. Mother would cook Sunday dinner on Saturday. Do I have one witness? And that food be smelling good. And so then when you came back home from church, you walk in the house, biscuits be cooking and the grease and everything from the roast beef and the pies. Don't you want a biscuit right now? I mean, one of them, you want one of them, yes, sir. I mean, one of those Red Lobster biscuits, you know, with cheese all up in them. And I'm going to leave that alone. Everybody, most of us walking in Red Lobster don't need one. I saw one person one time and said, baby, you don't need one more biscuit. And you can always tell when the church crowd comes in. Your hats, and there's always somebody coming in, you know. Not because they're crippled, because I'm not making fun of people that are crippled. I'm just saying because they're heavy. I found myself, my knees, I said to the doctor, my knees are hurting. I know, he said, well, you got arthritis in them. I said, no, you told me that, but they weren't hurting like this. He said, you also hadn't gained that much weight the last time you were here. Lose some of the fat, you'll take off some of the pressure from your joints. I just felt the revelation there. Lose some of your pressure and you'll walk better. Some of the relationships you're in are toxic. Get out of them. Oh, my God. Some of your relationships are empty calories. They're not helping you. They're hurting you. That's why Paul said, lay aside every sin and the weight. Take off some weight. Break off some friendships. They're not helping you. They're toxic. Millennials, this is an hour of post-truth. So when folks don't come to church, don't you take it personally. I thank the Lord for the growth here. Let me just say to y'all new folk coming in. Stay here long enough for stuff to change. Stay here. When I come back, I want to see y'all here. And then I want to see the balcony filled with all new people because you're going to start bringing one person per Sunday. See? You're going to bring one person per Sunday to this amazing ministry with a pond and this relevant church that operates a school, this relevant ministry that owns its building. Talk about black power, baby. You better talk about green power. Y'all got the Holy Ghost power and you got economic power. If you own it, you can do what you want because you own this. Y'all don't hear me. I said you own this. A whole lot of us can look at our ring and we don't even own the wedding ring we're wearing. We're still paying on it. That little ring you can't see. You're still paying on it. And here I am standing in the middle of a church. Leah, doesn't this church look like the school we used to worship in? We used to worship in the McGinnis School between the little church and the cathedral. We worshiped in the elementary school that was just like this, exactly. Except it was auditorium. There were auditorium chairs. And I'm looking at the same thing with the windows open. And the same stuff. I came in here. That's why I know that there's another place. I don't mean another place. There's more growth. But don't be foolish, because more growth doesn't necessarily mean breaking ground somewhere else, particularly when you're the only light in the middle of the belly of the ghetto and in this neighborhood. You're the only light. I can't hear nobody. You can hit the organ right on that. And we are the light of the world. Somebody say, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. I know somebody around here is pushing dope, but Bishop Hilliard came here to push hope. Hope, I walk in hope. I walk in possibility. I walk in God. I walk in his ability to do exceeding abundantly more than I could ask. Somebody put your blessed hands together and please help me give God praise. Please open your mouth and bless him. Please magnify the Lord with me. Would you please give God a standing ovation? My hope is in Christ. And then let me just say, because I have hope, I have help. Whatever, my God, whatever it is, now get this right. Whatever it is does not change who he is. Oh, I like that last ministry of dance when Ladybug came up and started throwing rags out. Ladybug was throwing out cancer, threw out diabetes, and threw out indebtedness. Ladybug was just pulling out rags, David. And every rag represented trouble. Would you help me honor the Lord for the pastor's wife's brother, David? Stand up, son. I've known him since he was a little baby boy. Look just the same. Come up here, son. Don't embarrass me. Walk up here. You don't walk like that. Stand up straight so they can see you. Don't ever be shamed. Now you got to walk to me now. Come here. Don't you be shamed. Ho. Let me just say, why don't I want you to be shamed? Because you ain't never been to jail. You ain't never, ever had an overdose. You never, ever been in a... You ain't never had chains on you. Ain't no shackles on you now. My God, would you help me praise God for black men all around here? Would you give God the glory, and a double anointing comes on you in a fresh wind? Oh, take your hand and touch your neighbor and say, a fresh wind comes on you. David, you represent... See, CNN won't come in here and do that. The news ain't going to talk about that. I want every man in here to stand up, every man. I'm off script for a minute. Somebody take a picture, please. Somebody get up here with your camera and take a picture. Somebody, every man, every boy, stand. Every man, every boy. If you got a penis, stand up. If the baby has a penis, stand that baby up. Hold that baby up. If you're pregnant and carrying a boy, stand up. Now, who has a chain on? Who's high? Who got weed on them? I didn't say what you did last night. I said, who got it on them now? The word of the Lord that comes to me, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, Leah, you know she's praying for me, because you know I'm about to go off script completely now. I want every one of these men to come down to the altar just for a second. Hit that organ. Guy, somebody. Pastor, on this, your 13th anniversary, here's your help. Organist, get on it all. This is your help. Turn around and face the altar. Turn around and face the altar. And want y'all also, I was telling Pastor with his direction, get something up here next time I come. Get something, a table with a candle or something on there. Open the Bible, a cross or something, because the Big Mama wants to come to your church because of your relevance. But when she come here, she don't see nothing that looks like St. Paul AME. You hear what I'm saying? She got to see something that look like Shiloh. She got to see something, and she'll join. But they're looking with me. I don't see no cross. I ain't got no candles. And someone wrote a book and said the millennials, when they come back to God, they're coming back to churches that don't look like the church they left. So they got to have something. Now, you face what would be the altar. Now, what I want you to know, stretch your hand this way. And I want you to say, Pastor, as long as you live, we will stand behind you. Your marriage and your family, we got your back. We'll hurt somebody if they ever try to come against this church, your mother, your wife, or your children. Turn back around, Pastor, and put your hands over your man like that and bless him. He just blesses you, that's all. He's blessing you. The blessing of the pastor. Oh, my God. That's what that means, son. It means a blessing. Yes. Now, I'm about to blow your mind right here, sir. See, Abraham lifted his hands and blessed like this. Now, I'm about to blow your mind, y'all. Watch me now. But when Paul, the apostle, he said, I bless you, yes, with the salutation of my hand. You know what Paul meant? He said, I bless you with the salutation of my hand. The Catholics still do it. The Orthodox still do it. The Lutherans still do it. Some of the Methodists still do it. I do it in my church every Sunday. We done shouted, prophesied, spoken tongues, fallen out, ran the aisles, sang yes, had the word taught, and I end up, and I got altar boys, about 20 of them. Big, busting out their robes, carrying the cross down the aisle with a candle on the left, candle on the right, with the Bible lifted above the people, walking down the aisle in the choir. And then I say, and now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you, and I want to say this, faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Father, be glory, majesty. I think I'm going to wrap it up shortly. Glory, majesty, hope, and help. And may he bless all of you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now clap your hands and give God praise. Give me that baby. And turn and face the people. I bless this baby. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This is what I do when I bless babies. I anoint them with oil and I say, Lord, bless this child that his mind will think clearly, that anoint his eyebrows, that his eyes will see the Lord at an early age. I anoint his ears, that his ears will hear the voice of Jesus. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I anoint his hands, say, may he never know poverty or welfare or lack in his life. And then finally, I take off the booties. I anoint their feet and say, God, bless their feet, that everywhere they walk for the rest of their life will be blessed. And then I take the baby. I do this. Son, name your child.
His name is Christopher. Okay.
Middle name?
Joshua.
Okay, hold the mic to my mouth. God, I give you Christopher Joshua. And then I walk up to the highest point of our altar. And I say to him, the words have been saying over Christian children for centuries. Christopher, you were marked with the mark of Jesus Christ and sealed by the name of Jesus forever. And I lift him up. Now, Bishop Hilliard did it. Pastor got going to do it his own way. But this child, I got to stop because I'm starting to feel the real anointing. This child. It's a miracle baby.
This is the baby that the doctor told them they would never have. He don't know that. Somebody give God praise for the miracle. Oh, God, I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody give God praise for the miracle.
Help me give God praise in here. Because with that baby praying over that child, we pray against this pipeline to prison program in our country. We come against the killing of our boys, even right here in Baltimore, the shooting of our boys shot like dogs in the street in Baltimore, in South Carolina, in Chicago, and our boys killing each other. We rebuke that spirit of killing and we say, stop the funeral, stop the funeral, stop the funeral. Would you now give him a praise? I'm going to wrap it up. Because God just spoke. Listen, every one of you that's lost a child, a nephew, a son, a brother, or a friend to gun violence, lift your hand. Look. No more. Now, because we're in the holy place, we now can speak. We speak to the whole country. Speak to Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, California, Newark, New Jersey, Chicago, Illinois, Baltimore, Maryland, Charleston, South Carolina. We come against this spirit of violence in the name of Jesus. Now, here's something we don't do like we used to, but I need somebody to say, oh, the blood of Jesus. Say it three times. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood, 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 the blood of Jesus. Hey, oh, the blood, 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 the blood. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood of Jesus. Now, brothers, it's not Men's Day. But I want you to go back to your seat and reverently, reverently, every person you see, just say, the blood of Jesus. And if you get, if your wife and your her children are here, anybody related to you, you touch them differently with power. If it's someone you don't even know, just touch their shoulders. Say, I plead the blood over you and your family. And walk on back to your seat. We're going to go home. That's good. That's it right there. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Oh my God. Oh my, my God. Jesus of Nazareth. Mary's baby. Yes. Say yes. Yes. Say yes. Say yes. Now listen. Listen. I need to just say that. I had no idea. I had no idea. I told you all last night, yesterday, when I walked in here, I stepped right into wet ground. You know, some churches you go to, and wonderful churches, but you have to kind of break up the ground. Because it's, you know, it's a little dry, and you know, nothing wrong with it. It's just the way the flow is a little different. I walked in here yesterday. I worked hard. I love the Lord, but he aggravates me sometimes. I worked hard laying out. What am I going to teach the leadership? I don't want need to be ashamed of me. Go home and say, oh, Lord, he wasn't that. He's much better than that. Really, he's really much better than that. But I stepped into wet ground. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that this ground here is fertile. When you sow, you will reap. If you speak it, it shall come to pass. If you declare it in the atmosphere, it will happen. This ground is saturated. The oil of glory is in the house. This is your 13th year, my God. But it started before 13 years ago. For every tear you shed, losing your husband out of nowhere, dropping dead, God has paid you back. You, your little baby boy is now the pastor. Would you help me? I didn't know that Christopher Joshua, I know none of that. But you see how God, and I hesitated. You know, I walked by and I walked back over and I said, I'm going to go ahead and flow. We have 24 women in our church. The oldest child is India. India's about 23. It's my godchild. So we had 24 women who were barren. And we prophesied to their womb. We got 24 children in the church that were not supposed to be born. We're closing now. But I want everyone in the sound of my voice to know that you live in hope. This is a center of hope. You can walk around saying miracles are happening. That should be on Twitter. Whoever took a picture, that put that on Twitter. This is the baby that the doctor said would never be born. Then put your story on Twitter. I've been clean for 32 weeks. This is a story. I used to smoke weed and I was on drugs. I didn't have a job for 2 years. And now this makes the 31st day of me working on a job. And I'm glad to be here. I want to tweet it out. I want to post it out. I want to Instagram it out. I got good news to tell you. Good news. Well, the old preachers will say good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Good news, Mary's baby. Good news, Lily of the Valley. Good news, bright and morning star. Good news, the Alpha and Omega. Good news, bridge over troubled water. Good news. Clap your hands and thank God for good news. Good news. Good news, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not kindle upon thee. This is the word of the Lord to this people this day. You're walking in hope. When you go home today, whichever way you go home, you're going to let your neighbors know, I'm walking in hope. Something has shifted in my life. Something has shifted in my spirit. Something has shifted. Who's looking for a job, by the way? Lift your hand. I'm still looking for a job, Bishop. Okay. Between now and Easter Sunday, lift your hand high. Between now and Easter Sunday, you will have that job. I promise you. Between now and Easter, you ain't got to pay nothing. I'm just telling you. You will get what you have asked for. I need you to say it. I will have a job between now and Easter. Now, I wanted to hoop out of here, but this is what the Lord told me to tell you. What, you may have done this before, but you're going to have a Living in Hope Sunday. I don't know what the building looks like at night, if there are lights all around it. Because this is a lighthouse. Perfect, perfect tune, perfect note. This is a lighthouse. So I was being driven yesterday. This is a decent street in front of you. Very nice. But you just go down a little further. Then turn the corner. And I said, oh, here we are. I said, here we are. Here we are. But how many of you know that God loves Pookie with the pants way down here? He loves Shaquita. It looks like Butchie. He loves them. And all of God's people need hope and need help. The Sunday is going to be called Hope and Help Sunday. That's what I saw today coming here in the spirit. And then you are all going to bring it. It's all going to be organized, of course, with your community development initiative and all of that. But you're going to have clothes, tables of clothes all across the school. Infant clothes, toddler clothes, teenage clothes. And I mean good stuff. You're going to have towels over here, undergarments over here. You're going to have food, canned goods, Tide, water. You're going to have dried soy milk. And then there's going to be you're going to bring in vegetables from your garden, lettuce, tomatoes, and you're going to corn. And they shall say, there's corn. Why do you go to that church? Why do you belong over there? Well, I went there one Sunday and I thought I was just going to be shouted out, but they gave me bags of groceries. They gave me clothes for my children. They gave me books for my family. They gave me laptops for my babies. And I believe that I want to be a part of a church like that. Would you help me give God? And so I leave this place singing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Kingdom life, God is concerned. God's got your back. God's got the flashlight of heaven on you, and every hair of your head is numbered. Whether your children in the street right now, I call them back home. I call them from the club. I call them from the crack house. I call them from ignorance. I call them back. And I need you to tell three people, because it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Lift your hands, Zion. Lift your hands. The service has been interrupted by the host of the service himself, Jesus. And as I lift my hand over you, I declare on this, the man of God's 13th day of installation, I declare a new era.